Last week we were zoche to begin time with Vayera. With a hakdama, an introduction, to try to understand what does it seem, is the goal, the objective of the Ramak, Rabbeinu Moshe Kordovero, inviting this tiny sefer that has had such a tremendous hashpah on Klal Yisrael. What's the tachlis of the sefer? We were talking about this last week, comparing Talmud Dvaira to the Mahalach of Reb Chaim Volozhiner and Ramchal. And we learned that the Ramak is teaching us that the objective of learning this sugya of Hashem's midas, the objective is not only to understand, is not only to be able to have a greater comprehension, and as a result of that, by knowing God, to become connected to God. All of that is true. And the Tzelem Elokim that we spoke about, that the Torah reveals at the beginning that man is created in God's image. Again, it's not only a matter of recognition. We'll talk much more about this today. But rather, the Ramak is teaching us that the tachlis is to find within ourselves, within the chelik alokam imal, within that godliness that Hashem has infused into each and every one of us, to find those midas. Because those midas are midas of elokus, of God. And each and every Jew is created in such a way that he has within him a chelik alokam imal, God himself. And because of that, we spoke about this last week, every time that you and I do something that's kind, we try to do something that's kind, we should think, like the Ramak says, we should have in mind that in doing so, we're connecting to the Midah of Chesed, which is a Midah Elokis, which is a godly Midah that's within us. And we're revealing that piece of God within ourselves that Hashem made known to us, that He behaves kivyochel in such a way that's called chesed. When we're afraid of something, when we're afraid, when there's a hisiris of a feeling of fear, in a positive way, Yirat Shamayim, or even in a way where we're afraid of something, we try to recognize that that midah of yira, of fear, of pachad, a gevura, is a midah elokis. Of course, Hashem's not afraid of anything. But what does that mean, the midah of gevura? The Ramak teaches us, what is this midah of gevura that Hashem has? In order that we find it within ourselves, and by being faithful to that teva, to that godly nature that Hashem has woven into each and every one of us, we're able to be mizdabik to Hashem. We're able to be godlike, to resemble Hashem, and we're able to achieve dveikus b'Hashem. So let's begin to read from the first parak, and to try to be medayik. Again, we could learn each parak here for years, but to try a little bit to understand on a deeper level what the Ramak is talking about. Let's read again the first paragraph in Parak Aleph. Ha'odam roi shi yizdam alokainai. The Ramak teaches that it is roi, that it is proper. It's interesting lashon. We'll come back to that. Why did the Ramak say Ha'odam roi shi yizdam alokono? Roi means that it's fitting and proper. We would think that the Ramak would tell us that Ha'odam chayiv shi yizdam alokono, that he's obligated. The Ramak says roi, it's proper, it's fitting. She is dam ha'lekainai, that a person resemble Hashem, his creator, vaziyah beside hatsur ha'alyonet selamudmus. And by doing that, then one is able to live according to the secret of the selam and dmus, of the selam and dmus, of being the swarm here, look, girls, on the beam right here. The tzelem and dmus of being created in Hashem's image. She'ilu yiduma begufai. We spoke about this a little bit last week. She'ilu yiduma begufai. Remember, we were discussing Ramchal how a person looks at his eyes, and he's able to remember that if we have this human faculty of seeing, to remember that there's an Ayin Roya, that there's a God who's watching us, not with physical eyes, but he's seeing everything that we're doing, whatever we think, whatever we say. And we look at the image of the human being who has ears, and we remember that Hashem listens to our tefillos, and so on. But the Ramak says, "Shili dumu begufay." But that's not the end of the Tzelem Elokim, because if a person would resemble Hashem in this way, in other words, if we would have these physical reminders of Hashem, v'loy bepu'ulos, but at the same time, we wouldn't be behaving in a way that is godly. Harihu machziv atzura. That would mean that a person is machziv, is unfaithful. We'll talk about kozav in a second, is misrepresenting that tzura, that godly image of the Tzelem Elokim. V'yomru alav, and they will say about him, tzura na. The body itself is remarkable. The body is created by Tzelem Elokim, is godly. But umaisim ku'urim, but his behavior is disgusting. Ku'urim is ugly. Tzura no umaisim ku'urim. Shrei ikra tzelem ha'dumus elyin hin pu'loisav. Because the main tzelem and dumus, that main resemblance that we have kivyachol to Hashem, is not the body, as holy as the body is. And as much as the body parallels somehow the Sfiris Alyonis, what's above, but the Ikar is Hein Pu'uloisav. Pu'uloisav, when the Ramak uses the word Pu'ulois, he means the Midas. Pu'uloisav means Midas. It means behavior, Midas. Umayo lo hayoso kitsura ha'alyona, and of what benefit it is to man that physically, he's Kitzur Ha'Elyoina, that his right hand is Chesed, and his left hand is Gvura, and so on. But what benefit is that to him? U'mayolo hayoso Kitzur Ha'Elyoina d'mus tavnes evarov, that his physical limbs and organs somehow are a reflection of Hashem, not physical, but of Hashem's midas. Of what benefit is that? U'bapu'lois lo yizdam alakayne. But as far as what the person does and how he behaves, how he conducts himself, he's very far from Hashem. He doesn't resemble Hashem at all. So let's try to understand this a little bit more before we begin the midas themselves. The Ramak says that if a person physically is a reflection of God, but not in terms of his behavior, then he's machziv atzura. Let's talk about the word kozov. It's very important. We have an expression when something is not true, we say sheker v'chozov. If you want to really emphasize that it's not true, that it's a lie, we say sheker v'chozov. Now sheker means falsehood. We know. What is chozov? What is the meaning of chozov? It was in last week's parasha, lo ish kel v'yechazev. Hashem is not guilty of kozav. La ish kel v'yechazev. What does that mean, kozav? So it's interesting. First of all, there's a Mishnah in Parshas Parah, in the halachas of the Parah Duma. And there the Mishnah speaks about the requirement that we have as part of the formula of the Parah Duma. We mix, as you know, Mayim Chayim, which is not a type of ginger ale or seltzer from Borough Park. We mix Mayim Chayim, Mei Chathas, the waters, living waters, with the ashes of the Paraduma. And through that mixture, through that formula, one can become purified from Tumas Meis. And the Mishnah there, in the eighth parak of Parah, speaks about mayim that are not in the category of mayim chayim. They're not living waters. And the Mishnah tells us that there is something that's called Mayim Mechazvim, waters that lie. Chazav means lie. What does it mean, Mayim Mechazvim? Mayim Mechazvim means, the Mishnah tells us, that every 7 years, that within a period of 7 years, Achas L'Shevashanim, that the waters of this particular wellspring dry up. And as a result of that, they cannot be categorized in halacha as mayim chayim. Mayim chayim means lebedeke water. It means always alive and flowing. Not that every now and then it dries up. If every now and then it's inconsistent with its true nature, then it's called mayim chazvim. Mayim chazvim means it looks like it's mayim chayim. These waters look, most of the time, they look like they're mayim chayim. But the Mishnah tells us that if there's inconsistency, even though the waters are usually in that state of being alive, being mayim chayim, but if achas l'sheva shanim, if even once, during one period within 7 years, the waters are not flowing, so then they're called mayim mechazvim. So the meaning of chazav, from this Mishnah, the meaning of chazav is that something presents itself in a certain way. This body of water presents itself ki'ilu, it's mayim chayim. It presents itself a certain way. But when we study these waters, we discover that the emes is that they're not mayim chayim, they're mayim mechazvim. Because in order for something to be true, you all know that the word emes is aleph mem sof, because it's from aleph till sof, from the beginning till the end, with a mem that holds everything together. Because the meaning of emes is always nitzchias. Emes doesn't mean it's true sometimes. Emes means when something is completely loyal and faithful to its purpose in creation and to the way that Hashem created it. Mayim Mechazvim means that the waters present themselves as Mayim Chayim. But upon further study, we discover that they're not really Mayim Chayim. There are times when they're not alive. There are times when they're being unfaithful to the tachlis of their creation. They're not carrying it through. They're not carrying it through to the end. Ani amati b'chavzi kol ha'adam kozev. In Hala, right? In Tillim. Kol ha'adam kozev. Hashem is lo ish kel v'yachazev. But kol ha'adam kozev means all the disappointments we have. When it looks like something is going to be, and it looks like this person is filled with promise, and we have tremendous expectations, it doesn't work out. There are inconsistencies, there are failures. Kol ha'adam kozev. So let's try to understand what the Ramak says over here. Were a person to just pride himself on the fact that he has eyes and ears, a right arm, a left arm, a right leg, a left leg, and that man's physical image is a reflection of the midos of Hashem. But at the same time, that person's life, the way that he lives, is not a life of chesed. It's not a life of gevur. What each of those midos mean, we're going to talk about. It's not a life of nikel kamocha, of nosei ovan, of being over al pesha. He's an unforgiving person. He's a difficult, unforgiving person. So the Ramak says, Hari hu machziv hatzur. Hu machziv hatzur. It's not sheker. It's not sheker. Sheker means when a person says something, and b'shas ma'ase, he knows that it's not true. Now, unless this individual is delusional, he knows that he's telling something that's not true. That's a sheker. Sheker means a pashut, a lie. He knows it's not true. The guy says, you owe me $100. He says, I don't owe you $100. And he knows he's lying. It's a shek. It's not true. Dornach didn't say, kol ha'odam shakran, kol ha'odam sheker. Dornach says, kol ha'odam koizev. Sheker means when you say something, you know it's not true. A shakran is a person who fabricates something, makes up lies. That's a shakran. Chazav means something else. Chazav, as far as a human being is concerned, chazav means that you make a certain promise, you make a commitment, and as a result of your promise and commitment, which you mean, shasmai, so you intend to carry it out. You're not a liar. You're not trying to trick somebody. Bamis, you mean it. And you make a promise, and you make a commitment. In the Tanoim, before people get married, they're not going to hide anything, they're not going to keep anything, not him from her, not her from him. And b'shas ma'aseh, when they're in love, so that commitment is meant in a very sincere way. Where does kozov come? Kozov, to be machziv as a tzura, means that even though b'shas ma'aseh you were sincere and you meant what you said, that you're going to be loyal and faithful, you're not going to hide anything or keep anything, not as far as Gashmis is concerned and not as far as Ruchnis is concerned, and that the husband and wife are going to mamish be echad, be one. The kozov takes place when afterwards l'mafreya, retroactively, we see that the person's commitment didn't have the strength to make it to the end. Just like the Mayim Mechazvim, they were living waters, but at some point they dried up, and because of that, they're described as being dishonest, unfaithful. There's a misrepresentation that has taken place. It's not an intentional lie. A promise was made, and as often happens in life, it turns out, looking back, that wasn't true. That wasn't true. The waters are alive, and it's ke'ilu, the waters are saying, remain chayim, and then at some point along the way, the waters dry up, and they were able to look back and to say to the waters, I'm sorry, b'shas ma'aseh, you meant it, but you were not faithful to that original representation of yourself. So the remark says over here, that if a person is just physically, if we would just pride ourselves on physically being in this state of holiness, that our limbs and our organs are modeled somehow after the right and the left, chesed and gevurah and teferes and so on, of the midas of Hashem. But that lemaise, we don't live that way, in a way of chesed and so on, teferes and all the midas, which we're going to learn in Mitzvah Hashem. It would be ki'ilu my body had made a proclamation upon birth, when the child comes into the world with all of the limbs and organs, with God's help, healthy and well, the child comes into the world, it's ki'ilu the child is proclaiming, if the child could speak, the child would say, look at me, I'm a tzelem elokim. Look at me, I have eyes, I have ears, I have all the limbs and the organs that somehow are a reflection to the Dmus and the Tzelem of the Creator, the one who created me. And then we follow that child through. So the child makes this tremendous statement upon birth. Not that he could speak or she could speak, but it's Kilu. The child is making this proclamation. And then we follow this kid along the way, and we see it's not so honest, Taka. And Chas V'Shalom, the child is not so kind and is not forgiving, it's not compassionate. So then it's ke'ilu, there was a chazav that took place, a terrible chazav, kol ha'adam kaizev, kol ha'adam kaizev. The Svarim say that Hashem speaks to us, not in the way that he spoke to the Nevi'im, we're not zoicha for that, now, but Hashem speaks to us, one in many ways. One of the ways that Hashem speaks to us is through the koiches, the kishreinus, the talents, and the koiches that each and every one of us have. Let me explain. Let's say, is there anybody here that's musical? Mustama, yes. Is there anybody here that's artistic? Mustama, yes. So, at some point, usually very early on, the child finds out that she's musical or artistic. That's around the same time the boys are finding out that they're violent. The girls are finding out that they're musical and artistic. So you have a certain teva. That you have a teva that you love to draw. You have a teva that you love music, you appreciate music. One of my granddaughters, she should be well, from the time that she started to make sounds, every time her mother would start to sing, she would mimic the song perfectly. And they still do. They're always singing together, Baruch Hashem. They should continue, all of our children and grandchildren, are singing together in harmony. There's a certain teva, there's a certain nature that that child has that's revealed in this way very early on. Now, it could be that somewhere along the line, either a parent or a mistaken teacher or mentor will say that music is not for you. It's not for a nice Jewish girl to be interested in music or in art. I don't know. It's hard to predict what people come up with these days, but I've heard a lot of strange things. So then that teacher or that parent or that mentor would be tampering with the nature of the child, which is artistic. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying to the child, use this talent to serve me. You're musical? Sing to me. You're artistic? Create art that's going to inspire people to get closer to me, etc. Whatever the talent is. One of the most obvious ways that Hashem still speaks to us is through our koiches and through our talents, through our own personal natias. A parent who tries to squash that talent, a teacher who tries to crush a certain talent, the nature of a child, is the equivalent of somebody telling a Navi to ignore the Dvar Hashem. Of someone who comes along and tells the Navi, tells a prophet, don't listen to what God is telling you. If you or I have certain koiches, it's because God is telling us something through those koiches. And He wants us to use those koiches. He's instructing us. He's commanding us to use our talents to serve Him. That doesn't mean you have to become famous or well known, but in whatever your life is, whatever the Dalet Amos of your life are, that Hashem is speaking to you. He's speaking to us and about us through our talents, our kishroinus, koiches, things that you or I are interested in. A person has a natural interest in something. That means that Hashem is saying, I have assigned you this particular area of life, of Torah, to think about, and to share your thoughts with other people, to inspire other people, to give chizik to other people. If sometimes a person wants to be a nurse, that's such a teva. Somebody have a guy that's with Hatzalah. Whatever it is, without going into Prate Pratim, everybody knows there are different koiches and kishreinus that a person has. Kol ha'adam koizev, one of the most horrible kazovim that takes place, is when a person ignores the Dvar Hashem. When he ignores his own talents, his own skills, his own koiches. Kol ha'adam koizev, and he becomes unfaithful to himself. Oftentimes a person in the younger years is very idealistic. I'm not talking about something that's silly or immature. But there's a certain fire of idealism. You know how many times I have couples that come in to talk to me, and it will begin with, you know, when we were younger, we really, really very, very badly wanted to live in Eretz Yisrael. We thought we were going to live in Eretz Yisrael. And then they go on with the rest of the story. I'm not saying that it's not my point whether you're chayef levin esrei or not chayef levin esrei. It's not for now. But there was a certain fire that was burning inside. And kol ha'adam koizev. The grind of life and the eventualities of trying to earn a parnasa and to raise children somehow diverted them from that ideal. And they're unfaithful to the ideal that they first felt when they were married. Kol ha'adam koizev. So when the Ramak says over here that if a person has the potential to be godly, he has the potential to be godly because God gave us unbelievable kelim. Even though we look like the rest of the world for the most part, but a Jew is not. A Jew is different. Even the guf of a Jew is holy, is holy. And the right hand and the left hand of a Jew is chesed and gur and so on. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us tremendous potential. Tremendous potential. When the Ramak says, She'ili yedume begufay veloy bepeulois, hayu machziv hatzura. If a person simply accepts, he accepts the reality that he's a godly being, and he has this tremendous potential to live a godly life, but he doesn't act upon that. He doesn't use his tkaiches. He doesn't use his midas. If a Jew has a right arm, it means the right arm is a reflection of the midah halyoina of chesed. If a person doesn't use chesed in his life, then the Ramak describes that as being machziv hatzura. So I hope it's clear now what kazov means. It's not a lie. It's not using one's potential. It's being unfaithful to the essence of who you are. It's presenting yourself, appearing a certain way, but then nothing becomes of you. Nothing becomes of you. It's always about potential, but not living up to that potential. That's called kozav. And the Svarim say that in Vidui, one of the things that we say is kozavnu. Shavnu bogadnu, kozavnu. Kozavnu. Kozavnu, again, doesn't mean we lied to you. It's more, we're so sorry we've disappointed you. You gave me such wonderful koiches. And I'm sorry because kazavti, I've disappointed you. I haven't lived up to my potential. I made a certain statement, or you made a statement. You spoke to me by giving me certain koiches. And I've disappointed you. When Hashem Hashem blesses us and gives us children, He had an exact cheshbon of why you got that particular child. With that child's nidus, with that child's mazel, there's a reason why the parents received that child. Kozavnu means, I'm confessing to you that I don't properly understand what you want me to do with this child. I don't understand. And I confess to you that I have not faithfully carried out the shlichus that you trusted me with this child. You appointed me to take care of this child, which means to bring out who this child is. Kazavnu. I've been a disappointment to you. I present myself as a parent. A parent is somebody who's not only physically taking care of a child, but who understands the child, who listens to the child, who tries to understand what this child is about. Kazavnu means I've disappointed you. I've disappointed Hashem. I've disappointed my child. In the children's talents, in the children's koiches, we have to hear Hashem. Hashem is speaking to us of what that child needs and how that child should develop and how we can nurture that child. Kazavnu means that we haven't been paying attention. And because of that, I've been an unfaithful father, an unfaithful mother. Kazavnu. And the result of that is the Yomrol of Tzura Noor Masam Ka'urim. And they will say, we don't care what people say. That's not the point. People. The Yomrol of. Yomrol of means in Shemayim. It will be said about this person in Shemayim, Tzura Noor. He's a very attractive Tzelem Elokim. the eyes, the ears, everything's working. His talents, his potential, tsurinah, everything's beautiful. Tsurinah umaisef ke'urim. But the person's actions, the person's way of living, ke'urim. Now, mecho'ar means, is used in modern Hebrew as ugly. But the word ki'ur really means when something when something is polluted. It's not clear. That's the meaning of ke'urim, mayim ke'urim, water also. Water that has a film that's dirty. It's not clear. It's called mayim ke'urim. When something is mecho'ar, it means that it had a certain light, it had a certain translucence, it had a certain beauty that somehow over time became clouded. Don't see anymore the original potential has become clouded. It's not clear anymore. And why is that? Shari ikat selim ba'admus ha'elyon hein pu'loisav. Because the ikkar, the essence of the tzelem elokim, is not the physical body that mirrors what's above, but it's the pu'ul ha'isav. And the pu'ul means the midas, how the person acts, the person's midas. What benefit of what use is there that the person physically resembles the Creator, kivyachol, and has all of that potential that's reflected in his limbs and organs? Ubapulois, however, as far as what the person actually does, he doesn't resemble God. Now, why are midos called pu'ulos? We find that not only in the Ramak, we find that by many of the Rishonim, that midas are called pulas. The word pula means an action. It's not the same thing as a mida, a characteristic or a trait. Why are midas called pulas? And the simple teretz is that we don't know who God is. The only way we could speak of Hashem is that we understand kivyochol his midas by means of his pulas. Right? That's obvious. We look at what Hashem does in the world, and we try to understand the midas of Hashem based upon the pu'ulois of Hashem. That's where we find very often that the words are interchangeable. Pu'ulois, midas. Because when it comes to Hashem, we don't know who he is. We can only look at his pu'ulos. We don't know who he really is. There's a famous teaching of the Reish Chacham that's brought down by the Baal HaTanya and other tzaddikim. And I'll share with you this paragraph. You don't have it in front of you. Let me just listen carefully to the words of the Reish Chacham, because it's really impossible to understand what the Ramak is talking about without this. And even when it says in Chumash, we don't understand. The Reish Chacham tells us the following. Shemati b'shem agoinim ki al kavona zu om b'maseches v'ash Hashanah v'yavra Hashem al pona v'yikra.
Now,
when it comes to the Midas, you all know that in Parshas Kisisa, after the Chet Egel, Moshe, when he was davening to Hashem, Hashem revealed the 13 Midas Arachna. The Sefer does not begin with the 13 Midas in Parshas Kisisa, but the 13 Midas in Sefer Micha. We'll see why. We'll talk about that. But at that point, when Hashem revealed his Midas HaRachamim to Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says in Chumash, in Kisisa, the Psukim we're familiar with, because any time Tzitanis, any fast day, but especially throughout the entire Slichus, and the Sesame Tshuva and Yom Kippur, Vayered Hashem ba'ono v'yitzatzi ma'ishon v'yikra b'shem Hashem. Vayavra Hashem al'pono v'yikra. Vayavra Hashem passed before him, Moshe Rabbeinu, and proclaimed, Hashem Hashem k'arachum v'chanun erach ha'parim v'chesed v'emes noitze chesed lof noitze yovim v'feshev hatov na'kei loy na'kei, and so on. Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, v'yimahar Moshe v'yikredatzi, fell on the floor v'yishtach. And from this comes out these midas of Hashem bring to tremendous forgiveness. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Kol Zman, as long as we engage these 13 midas of Hashem, Hashem forgives us. Again, listen to the language of the Gemara. If it wouldn't be written in the Chumash, we wouldn't be allowed to say it. When you look at the psukim, it sounds like, the Gemara says, Hashem put on a talis, whatever that means, like a chazan, like a shliach tzibur. And he showed Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what you say. And Hashem told Moshe an amazing thing. That as long as Bnei Yisrael do this, which is why we, throughout Slichas, which by the Sfaradim is from Rosh Chodesh Elul, and Ashkenazim through Slichas, before the week before Shana, and then Aseres Mitzvah Yom Kippur, everything is about, and then Nila every minute, Nila is again, right? The 13 meters. It's because Hashem made a promise. So the Baruch Hu made such a promise. Lo ish kel v'yachazav. Hashem is good to his promise. So we're constantly saying the 13 meters, especially where we're desperately in need of forgiveness. So by any tannis, by any fast day, and by Shun and Sohan Yom Kippur, we say the 13 meters. But listen carefully to this sentence, because the Reish Chochel is medayik. Because you and I know that we could say these psukim 1,000 times, and it doesn't necessarily change things. We believe in our tefillahs. Because it says in the Gemara that Hashem v'harelo Moshe v'amaloi kol zman sheYisrael, doesn't say yomru lefanai kaseidu hazeh. It says kol zman sheYisrael what? Yasu lefanai kaseidu hazeh. Kol zman sheYisrael yasu lefanai kaseidu hazeh. Whenever Jews behave this way, when they act this way, harini moichel lahem. So the Reish Lakish says, the Reish Chacham is a big tzaddik, and he says we see many times that we invoke the 13 meters and Hashem doesn't answer us. We need rain, we scream the 13 meters, it doesn't rain. We're asking for Yeshua, how much davening was going on, and we didn't see the Yeshua in the way that we were hoping we'd see the Yeshua this past week. So the Reish Lakish asks, he says, on a roim should come upon one of my skin, you give me this. Veinim nanim. Doesn't seem to work. We're not answered. Elo oimrim, the Reish Lakish says, Elo oimrim hagoinim ki kavanas yasu lefanak yaseidoza. It's not just that you have the potential. It's not just that you could say the words, Hashem, Hashem, Karachim, Uchanan, while you're yawning or you're looking at watch, or by Ne'ilah, you're getting a little bit more nervous and still looking at your watch. It's not just that you're saying words. It's not just that you have the potential. It says, Kol Zman, the Reish Chacham says, Elohim, I'm going, Ki Kavanas, Yasu, Lefanik, Kaseidah, Zaina Kavanah, Levad, Alatif, is a talus. It doesn't just mean to throw the talus over your head and to say words. It means to live this way. To live this way with the midas of Hashem. Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu these are the midas. Like the Gemara says, just like Hashem is Rachum, Afata Tiye Rachum. Doesn't mean just to say the words, Kel Rachum Machan. Yasu Lefana Kaseida Ze. V'chein Kol Hayud Gimel Midas. If we understand that the Midos are called Pu'ulos, the Midos are called Pu'ulos because the Midos is not just a way of thinking. Hashem is both. Doesn't want us to major in midas. to be professors of midas. The midas are called pe'ulois because from the beginning Hashem revealed those midos, and He said to us, "Kolzman shetasu lefana kiseidav azeh." I don't want you just to think about these midas. These midas are called pe'ulois because I want you to live this way. And the promise that I've made of forgiveness is not because you say these words, because kol ha'adam koizev, you might say those words, but you don't live that way. You meant it. When you said you're going to live that way, but l'maaseh, it turned out to be mayim mechazvim. It turned out to be that you didn't live in a way of kol racham mecham. So kol zman she'yasu lefani kiseidav hazeh. And then the Gemara goes on over there, and the Gemara says, "Omer of Yehuda, bris kruso l'shloishes rei midas she'ein en chayzres reikav." We don't find any other statement like that in Chazal. Bris kruso, Hashem made a covenant. A covenant, bris krusa l'shloishes midas, that these 13 midas einan chayzeres reikam. You don't come back empty. Einan chayzeres. Hashem made a promise. He signed His name on it. Bris krusa that these midas einan chayzeres reikam. Shenamar, it says over there, hine anoichi kareis bris. Hashem revealed the 13 midas, and He didn't just reveal the 13 midas. Hine anoichi kareis bris. Hashem had a bris that I'm going to keep my promise. So He said to us, He said to us, Chevra, if you keep the 13 midas, I'm going to keep my promise. What's that? I'm going to keep my promise. That's my end of the deal. It's a bris. Hashem said it's a covenant. I'm signing off on this. You have to keep your end of the bris. So the Gemara is telling us, our side of the bris is not saying words. It's not having potential. It's pu'ulais, living up to that potential. Kolzman she'yasu lefanai kiseidav hazeh. That's the bris. If we understand that we're obligated bein mitzad, the requirement of the Torah of halachta bedrachav, where there's a mitzvah from the Torah that we have to walk in Hashem's ways. And that's what we're talking about. These are the ways of Hashem. And bein mitzad, our own natural instincts of self-preservation, of love of ourselves, of love of all Jews. As we spoke about at the end last week, that the Ramak tells us later on, that by you and I being mechazik ourselves in these midas, in the 13 midas and the 10 spheres, to live that way, that we're able to open up and to bring into the world unbelievable shefa, according to that midah. So that when you and I try to do something that's kind, and we try to have in mind that we're connecting to the midah of chesed, that when we're doing that, Hashem is saying, that's what I meant. Ata oisa lefon, I can say there has a. And when that happens, it opens up the midah of chesed. It opens up that midah of chesed into the world. Sometimes we see that, sometimes we don't see that, but that's what's happening. It opens up the shefa. That's what we say after counting each sphere. Chesed shebe chesed, gvura shebe chesed. Al yidei zeh yushpa shefa rav b'chol ha'olamos. Let's continue. Lefichach roya, the Ramak says, lefichach therefore. Roy, again he says the word roy, it's fitting and proper. It's odd. He doesn't say chayiv. We need to understand that. Lefichach roy shi is dame el pu'ulois hakeser. Therefore it is roy, it is fitting, that man resemble in his pu'ulois, in his midas, and the way that he lives, the pu'ulois of keser, of the crown. Which we'll talk more about later on, what that means. But for our purposes now, it means the entire system of Hashem's midas, the crown. Shehein yud gimel midas shel rachamim el yoinois, which are the 13 midas of rachamim el yoinois. Rachamim el yoinois. Exalted rachamim, the highest rachamim. The 13 midas of rachamim el yoinois. Now, at this point, we'll talk about El Yonis and Mitchum, we'll get to that in a minute. But at this point, we would expect that the pasuk that the Ramak would quote would be which pasuk, Rabbi Yisai? Which would we expect him to quote? Kisisa, from Chumash. We would expect him to bring from Chumash. Hashem Hashem Karachum Uchan, the 13 meters in Parash Kisisa. That's what we would expect. But he doesn't do that. He says that Rumuzai is beside Hapsukim, he brings from Michal, which we line the Haftarah on Shabbos Shuvah. The end of the Haftarah of Shabbos Shuvah is the 13 meters. Nikel Kamaicha, Noisei Oven V'Oiva Al Pesha, L'Sheiris Nachalosoi, L'Hechzik Lad Apoi, Ki Chofes Chesed Hu, Yoshev Yirachamenu, Yichbois Avnesenu, Misashrich Bimsulas Yom Kol Chatoisom, Titnem Sliyakov, Chesel Avram, Ashenishbat Lavasenu Mekedem. That's how we end the laning of the Haftarah on Shabbos Shuvah. And we also say that by Tashlich. The 13 Midas in Novi, in Micha. The English, I'll just read the article translation in each word there. Obviously, we're going to be talking about what it means more behind, but the English translation is, who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and overlooks transgression for the remnant of his heritage? He does not maintain his wrath forever, for he desires kindness. He will once again show us mercy. He will suppress our iniquities. You will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Grant truth to Yaakov, kindness to Avram, as you swore to our forefathers in days of old. Seder. Those are the 13 Midas in Micha. Which the Ramak calls Midas, he calls the Midas Yugimus Sharachim El Yoinais. So first of all, why does he call these Midas Sharachim El Yonos? Midas Rachman. Everywhere in Chazal it's called Midas Rachman. It's called Midas Rachim, it's called El Yoinus, Midas Sharachim El Yoinus, highest, most exalted. And then the question, of course, is why does the Ramak choose to begin the Sefer with the 13 meters that are found later on in Navi? And not going directly to when Hashem revealed his meters to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel, by Har Sinai, Hashem revealed these meters. I'm just going to be able to start for a minute now. We'll pick up on this Mishnah next week. The Zohar Kaddish says something remarkable. The Zohar Kaddish speaks of the two sets of Midas, in Chumash and in Navi. And the Midas in Micha, that we just read, Mikel Kamoicha, is called by the Zohar Kaddish Soid Ila. Soid Ila, which means Sod Elyon, the highest mystery, the highest secret. Which is, of course, the reason why the Ramak calls this. That's why he calls it Yigimul Sharachim El Yainais. Because the Midas that are described in Navi are called by the Zohar Kodesh Soid Ilah, the secret, the highest secret. And the Midas in Chumash are called Soid Tata, the lower mystery, the lower secret. Question, how could that be? The Chumash is the Sait Tata, and Navi is the Sait Ilah. Micha. So, just to begin, it's always an interesting thing how I don't know about you, but when we go, let's say, to Kivrei Tzadikim in Eretz Yisrael, so probably everybody has been zeichet to be by Kivrei Tzadikim. So I remember around 15 years ago, my wife and I were going with a wonderful tzaddik. He's no longer alive. There was a tour guide in Eretz Yisrael by the name of Chaim Mageni. Anybody know Chaim Mageni? He's a tzaddik of Yidden. He died. He wasn't old. And we were going with him, and he lived Eretz Yisrael. He breathed Eretz Yisrael. And And he was always upset with me because we went with him a few times, and I always wanted to spend a lot of time at Kivrei Tzaddikim. He wanted to show me things from Tanakh, you know. And I always wanted to hang out by the Kvaris. My wife also wanted to see other things, and I wanted to stay more by the Kvaris. And he said to me, Reb Moshe, I'm going to take you now to a Kever of a Tzaddik. You've never been to this Kever. And I said, I've been to all the Kvaris. He said, no, you've never been to this Kever. And the inn over there in the Galil somewhere, on the side of the road, we drag around over there, and there's the Kever of Chavakuk HaNavi. Chavakuk HaNavi is buried. Are you ever there? Chavakuk HaNavi is buried there. Someplace on the way to Tveria. I don't remember where. In the middle of nowhere. It's Chavakuk HaNavi. You know, the Dairies are identified where Chavakuk HaNavi is buried over there. So he was all excited to take me there, and I was trying to connect to this. I mean, this Chavakuk is only a parak, you know. And I looked inside and it was chazing a little bit quickly. But even when we go to the cemetery, let's say in Sfas, so there's always a crowd around the Arizal, around the Ramak, around the Beis Yosef, right? You have Hoshea ben Be'eri, the Navi. He's over there by the mikveh, near the mikveh, near the Arizal's mikveh. There's never an oilam there. The grass is always growing like this. There's never an oilam over there. It's an interesting thing. So the simple explanation is that the later somebody is, the more you and I can connect to that person, that we can relate to that person. A Navi, I don't know, it's a Shaykh is a Navi. Right? Then you go to the Kvaris, they tell you of the Tanaim and Amoraim, this is Hillel and Shammai, here's Antognis, he's Soichai, and here's from this Tana, from this Amora. Okay, it's interesting. So Rabbi Kiva is in Tveria, so Rabbi Kiva, oh, we know more about Rabbi Kiva, we get excited a little bit. But then in the same cemetery, there you go, there's the Rambam is there, Shalach Kodesh, in Tveria. And then you go a little bit on the road, and you have the old cemetery in Tveria, they have the Chalukah, the Talmid Baal Shem, Mendel Vitebska. Wow, the Chassidim go crazy. Mendel Vitebska. But the Rambam, you stop off for a second, you say, is that a capital Tillim? By Mendel Vitebska, they're standing there screaming and crying. There's something about a Navi that's so beyond us that we don't feel a Kesher Shaychus. You come closer to our times, so then there's more of a feeling of this being part of our world, and that somehow this Tzaddik was explaining things to me. But the Navi is too far from me. I don't understand the Navi. Zoom. The Midas of Chumash are called, it's remarkable, the Midas of Chumash are called Soid Tatar. The Midas of Navi are called Soid Ilah, the higher Soid, the higher secret. And Chumash is a lower secret. We have to understand. Avraham Avinu did his best, looking at what God does in the world, to try to understand Hashem's ways. The others and the other tzaddikim, they did their best. To us, it's very, very far from our understanding. It's very far from our understanding. But they did their best. They didn't have all the years of Nevuah, and they didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh. And they didn't have all the tzaddikim, all the achrayim, and so on, that we're zeichet to have. So on one level, the midas of the Torah are very, very high. It's so high that we really don't grasp them, and we can't understand Moshe Rabbeinu. We can't understand that communication. It's very high. It's very distant to us. And the Nevi'im are closer to us. The Nevi'im are closer to us. If it's called a Soid Ilah, if the Zohar calls the Midas and Micha a higher secret, It means, as the tzaddikim say, that as the generations get further and further away from Hashem, and we're more and more lost in the darkness of this world, and we're in such a low level. So the Rabbi Nachman Breslov of Sousyan said that, you know, when you're really, really sick, you need to have the biggest doctor in the world. For a little sickness, for a sore throat, for something, you can get a little doctor. For a big sickness, you need a big doctor. So we're so sick, and things are so dark, that Hashem's Baruch Tavke revealed through Micha, which is after Chumash, the Soid Ilah of His loving kindness, the highest secret of His loving kindness. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's far from us. We don't understand it. Therefore, it's called the Soid Tatar. Legabei us, it's a lower secret. Of course, it's higher. It's Moshe Rabbeinu, but vis-a-vis us, it doesn't speak to us the same way. For that matter, that when we go to Mendel Vitebsky's grave, it speaks to us more than when we go to Habakkuk Hanavi. The tzaddikim that were sent later in time were sent for the later generations to help us, to connect in our matzav that we're in right now. That the Ramak bases the Sefer upon the Midas of Micha, the Soid Ilah. When a child does something that's mildly inappropriate or bad, so then you have to be only mildly forgiving and compassionate. But when your child, God forbid, does something that's absolutely beyond belief, horrible, then there needs to be a Midah of Rachman that's beyond belief. There are Midas that are called the Soid Ilah, the highest, highest loving kindness and compassion of Hashem. The Davka is revealed to us later in time. The same way, and it's late, just a second, the same way that when we went out into Galus, Hashem revealed to Yechezkel HaNavi the Ma'aseh Merkava, the deepest secrets of Ma'aseh Merkava, that he didn't show to the earlier Nevi'im. Because when we left that cell for the first time, we went out in Galus, and we were being beaten and tortured by our enemies, we felt that Hashem left us, He abandoned us, He didn't love us anymore, He was finished with us. And Davka there, Hashem reveals the deepest, deepest, deepest mysteries of His love. Then later on He revealed in time Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And then after that He revealed the teachings of the Ari HaKadosh. And then He sent down at the end of time the light of the 7 days of creation, the holy Baal Shem Tov Yisrael, HaKal Yisrael. He sent down the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Into such darkness He sent such light. The Midas HaElyon is... The Midas HaRachim HaElyonis speak to us. Not that they're higher, but they lift us higher. You understand? They lift us higher. But Hashem, that it says in Zohar Kodesh, and Reb Chaim Vital, his Rebbe from Arizal, that Davka at the end of time, Hashem is revealing the deepest secrets. Do you think that our grandmothers sat someplace learning Talmud Torah? They didn't have a shiur in Talmud Torah, guaranteed. They said Sanarana. And even what they were saying, they didn't usually understand. To learn Talmud Torah, they didn't learn. The stuff that you and I have been zeicher to learn, the Dor Basra, what Ari HaKadosh says at the end of time, all of the deepest, deepest secrets are going to be revealed because we're chalishing to feel connected to God. Early generations were able to feel God's love without so much being revealed. You can get away for a long time without saying I love you. But if somebody is dying and you don't say I love you, the person can't live. So as the years go by, Hashem's I love you becomes louder. That's how it is. The Midas Elyonis are loud. The Soid Ilah of God's love is revealed more and more as time goes on. Because we're further and further away. We're chalishing for some light and for some love. So He reveals that the Midas HaElyonis at the end of time. Okay, Bez Hashem, we're going to continue next week, and we're going to begin to learn what's the meaning of, what does it mean, Mikel Kamaicha? What is the Midas HaElyonis of Mikel Kamaicha? So we'll continue.